Robbie, we're in the UK, or TNA are in the UK this week for, realistically, what's probably the biggest week of the year for the company. How exciting is it to be, you know, readying to go in front of these big crowds in the likes of London where we are now?
I think it's for our team, and I say team as a TNA team, we've been gearing up for this for a while. Like, we've been talking about this for months. And like I said in several interviews before, man, this is an actual the best group of guys that we've put together in a long time on that show. And I think everybody's working together, and I think everybody's looking at the common goal. And I think right now everybody's really geared up for this. So I think with the energy that the crowd's going to bring and the energy that we're going to bring, I think it's just going to be amazing. I think these are going to be some of the best shows that this area has seen in a long time across the board.
I mean, you've been, one way or another, you've been a pro wrestling star on the major league level for the past decade or so now. That would have involved, I would guess, a lot of foreign travel. I mean, how many times have you done the UK tours before, whether it be TNA, WWE, or whatever?
I was trying to figure that out, and I have no clue. Somebody asked that before, and they asked me what match I did when I was down here. I said, I really don't know. It's all just been a big blur, especially with WWE. I mean, we were going to so many different places. Like, we'd be here 1 minute, next minute we're in Italy. Like, it's so foreign to me as far as trying to figure out what was what. The thing that I do know is that there's a special little electricity that the UK fans have, because you can go to some places and you might have hardcore wrestling fans where they're just sitting there, they're just trying to figure out the match, what's going on. And then you have some places where you go where they have no idea what's going on. They're just out there yelling because they have something going on. I think the UK crowd is a mix between the two. The UK crowd is educated enough to know and understand what's going on with professional wrestling, but excited enough to let themselves be entertained by it. See, in the United States, we get a little bit spoiled, because you can go see, you're going to see John Cena every weekend. You know, you can go and see him here, there, and everything like that. You can see a live show every weekend if you want. Down here, you don't get that opportunity, because we don't come here that much. WWE doesn't come there much. Ring of Honor, all these different shows don't come there that much. So these people, they see us on TV on a regular basis, but we don't come here so much. So now we're here. So I think us coming here is going to be an opportunity for the crowd. But and another thing with TNA is we're more interactive with the crowd. After the show, I'm going to be out there with the crowd. I'm going to hang out with every person over there. I'm going to shake hands with every person that came here. I'm a good guy now. If I was a bad guy, I'd slap everybody. But either way, there's some kind of interaction. So I'm excited, man. I'm really excited about having this tour and being here and just being with this crowd, because this crowd is a crowd that we want. This crowd is a crowd that we like. They get it, but they're excited enough to let themselves be excited to watch it.
Fairly obviously, you're a North American. The vast majority of the times that WWE and TNA and whoever else, even go back to WCW, I suppose, the vast majority of the times when the companies have toured, it has been a crew mainly of Americans, Canadians, etc. As the wrestling world evolves, if you like, we're getting more and more European, British talents getting involved in the companies. Now, I want to talk about someone like Rockstar Spud. Now, Spud is about the size of one of your legs.
Yeah.
But he's got this kind of like, he's just got this sort of it factor or this X factor or whatever that just endears him to these crowds, particularly, I suppose, the British crowds.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when I first watched him, I was like, let me know, what do I think about this guy? But then when I came and actually started working with him, got it right away. I mean, the first time I was around him, got it. That's the one thing that these live shows help with us, because when they get around us and they get it. Like, we have an amazing group of guys here. Like, a Rockstar Spud, that's case in point. You're around him for a couple seconds, you get it. Like, if you don't, or if somebody else is, like, trying to bring him down or try to not make him look as big as he is, it's easy to do because he's a small guy. Like, don't watch him. Look at what do you got? He's a clown, blah, blah, blah. But if you go around him or you just watch him, and you just watch on the show for a little bit, you're going to be like, man, I like that guy. And that's the one thing that we have, the Bobby Roode. You go and you see somebody like him, if you want to really try to bury him, you can find ways to bury him. Being a bigger company, you can bury him. But if you go and watch him, you're like, holy cow, that guy's amazing. The matches he has, amazing. Eric Young, amazing matches. Austin Aries, amazing matches. MVP, probably one of the best people on the microphone right now across the board in the business. We have so much going on right now that is so important for the crowds to come and actually watch us live so they can actually see what's going on. Then afterwards, when they turn on the TV, it's easy after that. We can make you a fan by coming here and watching us. And I'm glad you picked up you pointed out the Rockstar Spud, because I had a friend of mine that just came to one of the shows when we were doing New York, and he was questioning it too, and I was like, man, you got to meet him. And he met him and was around him for a little bit. And then after he started watching, he was like, I like that guy. And he goes and buys one of the t-shirts. I almost sweat. I was like, whoa, now you're going too far. If you're going to buy something of mine. Don't support somebody else. But that's just the thing. It's like when you get around the guys from TNA, that's when you really get it and you really understand that we have a really special group here.
You are now the champion of this company, the number one guy in this company. It's been quite a strange few years for you, hasn't it, in terms... I mean, let's get this out here. You are also a mixed martial arts fighter.
Yeah.
Now, we've had guys go from one to the other. Generally, we don't have guys who do both at the same time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whatever anyone wants to think about pro wrestling, it's still very hard on the body. You still need Absolutely. To be an incredible athlete to do it.
Yeah.
In mixed martial arts... guys are trying to punch you in the face. These are two very similar but very different things.
Yeah.
How do you go about in terms of both the physical preparation and perhaps the mental preparation of kind of, you know, do you look at it all as one thing, or do you have to look at it very separately as tonight's my pro wrestling, I've got my pro wrestling hat on, tonight I've got my mixed martial arts hat on?
It's almost, I could just answer that question by saying yes, because everything that you said is completely right. I do look at it as all one thing, because at the end of the day, it is all one thing. Like, because it's sports entertainment. The promoters, they don't give a damn about whether this fight, this is a great fight right here, because I can find you a great fight with two guys out on the street. But at the end of the day, they need to sell tickets. So they're going to put people in the ring that are going to sell those tickets. And they're going to build the fight. So that aspect, and then when you walk out, the crowd's like, oh, the music, oh, this, all that. Am I talking about pro wrestling? Or am I talking about MMA? It's the same damn thing. When I get in the ring, Bobby Lashley. Am I talking about wrestling? Am I talking about pro wrestling? So all the way leading up to it, it's the same. All the way after, it's the same. The talking, everything, that part's the same. Where I take off my pro wrestling hat is when the mental preparation of it. The mental preparation of it. It's a little bit different from MMA. And the mental preparation for me is different from any other fighter, because what I'm doing is I'm representing all the pro wrestlers. That's what I keep trying to tell the pro wrestlers. It's like, if you want to hate me, don't hate me for fighting, because I'm fighting for us. Because a lot of times the mass majority, they sit back and they say, look, pro wrestling's fake and this, that, and they can't do this, they can't do that. Well, I'm showing them that we can. So the mental preparation for me is a little different, because I'm not just fighting for myself. I'm not fighting for myself and my kids. I'm fighting for myself, my kids, TNA, and all the other pro wrestlers, because I have a lot on my shoulders when I do it. And a lot of people won't be able to do it. It's hard, but I do it, and I'm not going to stop doing it. I'm going to keep going. I mean, this year I really want to stake a claim in MMA just to say that I'm bringing it back to pro wrestling. Like I was... my first pro wrestling fight, I was sitting there pointing at the TNA hat just to let them know I am still a wrestler. If you want to talk about my fighting style, let's put my fighting style as a pro wrestling, if that's what you want to do. And I don't mind doing it. Like some people say, you know, at the end of the game with 2 seconds left, who do you pass the ball to? You can pass the ball to me, and I don't mind doing it. I bless my ass for what I do, and I'm going to keep doing it. So
there is another high-profile pro wrestling to MMA crossover. I think you know who I'm talking about, in Phil CM Punk Brooks. I don't know how well you know him personally. I would assume your paths have crossed at least to some extent, maybe going back to the developmental days in Ohio, Ohio Valley. I mean, you going into mixed martial arts didn't seem that much of a stretch. I mean, you've got a prolific background in the amateur wrestling, which anyone who knows mixed martial arts knows. Generally, you've got a very good amateur background. You're probably going to do pretty well in MMA, because that's the base of the sport, almost, if you like. As far as we know, from what he's put out there, from what's been put out there, he has a limited martial arts background.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be fighting, looks like he's going to be fighting in UFC at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, He's not going to be able to put a goat to sleep on someone, I would think.
Probably not.
Because that's, you know, realistically. How is he going to do? What's going to happen with him in and what advice would you have for him?
You know, when he came to pro wrestling, I said, look at that guy right there. He doesn't have the build like Brock Lesnar. He doesn't have that massive Vince McMahon person that we want. But arguably, he was the biggest thing in wrestling in the past probably 10, 15 years, maybe even 20 years. So he broke every boundary and every obstacle that they said that he wasn't supposed to be successful in, and he made it to the top. And I say it over and over again, and I'm going to say it one more time, and I'm going to say it probably 5 more times, maybe even 20 more times within the next couple of days. My motto is you can't be successful at one thing. And the reason why is because when you're successful at one thing, you learn the model. And the model, you just take the model and you just use the same model everywhere else you go. Punk's taking the model that he took when he was in WWE, and it was the same thing when he came in WWE, because I was in development. When he was in developmental, I was on the road. He came up, he was doing dark matches when I was at the height and part of my career. And there was a lot of people that said, he's not going to do it, he's not going to make it, he just doesn't have the look, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have the body, he's this, that, and the other. And he just kept going, and he made it to the top. Same thing now, he goes into MMA, you know, like, he doesn't have the background, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that, blah, 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 blah. He goes to a camp, and he's training with some guys that I know personally, and they're like, he is busting his ass. So with that being said, what I think Punk is going to do is Punk is going to prove himself to people. It's not about winning and losing, because whether he wins and loses is almost irrelevant, because I can find somebody for him to beat, and Dana White can find somebody for him to beat, and they're going to look for somebody for him to beat. And then the crowd's going to be like, oh, they just found somebody for him to beat. So that's going to be one. What I think Punk is going to show people is that he's a serious martial artist. Like, he's going to go out there and he's not going to be sloppy. He's not going to look terrible. He's going to go out there and he's going to really look good. And regardless of the opponent that he has, regardless of the win or loss, he's going to grab a lot of respect from a lot of people by just the way that he carries himself throughout the whole process of leading up to it and the actual fight. I think at the end of that fight, win or loss, they're going to applaud. They're going to be like, okay, we get it. We understand. We like you. And I think that's the only thing that he needs to really worry about. He doesn't win or loss. If he goes out there, let's say he goes out there and loses, he probably structured a deal where he's probably going to get pay-per-view buys. Okay? And if he gets pay-per-view buys, Punk's going to blow out the pay-per-view numbers next year when he fights. 2 million, 3 million, it's going to be ridiculous. And he's going to get paid like a fat rat. So it's like, does he care if he wins and loses? I mean, if he loses, gets knocked down the first round, who cares? Here's $2 million, go have fun. The one thing I know that Punk's going to do is he's going to show people that he's serious about what he does, and he's going to go out there and he's going to be successful. I see him as winning a fight against a guy. I see if I can write the story or what I think the story is going to happen, they're going to put him with an opponent, and that opponent is magically going to get hurt like right around the time close to the fight. And then they're going to have to put somebody else against him that is like a dangerous fight for him. And Punk's going to go out there and accept it anyway. And Punk's going to go out there and fight his ass off. Win, loss, we don't know. But he's going to fight his ass off and he's going to earn some respect from a lot of people. And that's all that's all that we can hope for. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Have you spoken to, you know, we were talking about the sort of trying to balance having, you know, a full-time pro wrestling career and a full-time mixed martial arts career. Have you had advice or spoke to people like Dan Severn and people like that, Josh Barnett, who have sort of done pretty much the same thing over a longer period?
Yeah, I'm good friends with Josh Barnett. We talk all the time. And what Josh always says, you know, most of the people that do that have dabbled with both, they always say, go to pro wrestling because fighting sucks. They always say that. And it's because at the end of the day, pro wrestling is fun, man. I absolutely love pro wrestling. I love it to death. Fighting, I love fighting. I hate the politics of fighting. Politics of fighting is horrible. It's disgusting. It's a disgusting business. But, I mean, Bellator is actually a lot better than most of the companies that I've been in. But it's a tough business because it's like who's really being catered to in the fighting business. The amount of work that we put in as a fighter, practicing 3 different styles of fighting between your striking, jiu-jitsu, and your wrestling on a regular basis, plus the conditioning added on to it. There's a lot of work involved with it. And the only one that's getting rich is Dana White. and the promoters. So the fighters aren't really getting their just due as far as pay when it goes to MMA. But, you know, we do it anyway because it's that competitive nature of some of us that want to keep doing it. And I'm going to keep doing it anyway. And the fighters that I've talked to that want to cross over to pro wrestling, they're like, please just talk to Dixie or talk to Vince and let me get an opportunity because I want to get away from it. There's a lot of guys that they're every time when I go to a fight, they're like, why are you here? And I'm like, why are you here? They're like, because I have to do it. Why are you here? You can pro wrestle. It's like, oh, because I want to be here. And that's the same thing with Punk. Really, if Punk wanted to say, hey, okay, Vince, all right, let's forget all this. You know, let's be friends again and give me $10 million and I'll come back here. He'd have to consider it. So why take a lesser pay and go and fight somebody and risk putting your ass on the line for doing it? It's because he wants to. And you know what? We only live once. That YOLO. You live once. So do what you got to do and have fun with it.
From the TNA perspective then, as we said, you're the champion now. I feel to an extent maybe in TNA, you've only really scratched the surface of what you're capable of in terms of, you know, we've seen the series with Bobby Roode, which was some fantastic matches over the last sort of 4 to 6 month period or whatever. There's been things with some of the other you know, main competitors as well. I mean, there's still guys out there for you to dance with, isn't there?
The biggest one is when I was in high school, I had this VCR tape that I used to watch all the time, and it was a match between Sylvester Turquay and Kurt Angle. And during this video that I watched, I still have the videotape. Watch this videotape, and they do this whole story. It's the only time they've ever done this. Whole story on Sylvester Turquay's life. And then they had the match. So it's like, Kurt's supposed to be the jobber in this match, basically. Kurt goes out there and beats him. I watch that all the time. It's a phenomenal match. After that, Kurt goes on to Olympic Training Center. I move on to high school. Like, our careers just mimicked each other all the way through. I was a state champion. Kurt was a state champion. I went on and won national championship. Kurt won national championships. He was always ahead of me. Then after that, I moved to the Olympic Training Center. I won a world championship, or I took second at the world championships after Kurt won his gold medal. Kurt was in WWE. Kurt came back and did a vignette when he was in WWE at the Olympic Training Center. He's the one that saw me. He said, man, you got a great look. You should talk to some of these people about going pro wrestling. Talked to Briscoe. Briscoe called me. Make a long story short, I ended up getting into WWE when he was there. After a year in WWE, next thing you know, Kurt's on TV with a TNA mouthpiece on. Then my career ended, and I ended up in TNA. So we kind of were boom, 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 boom. But in this whole time, there was only one time Kurt and I was in a ring together, and we were a tag team. And it was at a live event in the middle of nowhere because everybody was bruised up and beat up, and we did like a 8-man tag team. And it was like me, Kurt Angle, Undertaker against like Booker T, JBL, and Mark Henry. That was the only time that we've ever been in the ring together. So, Like they say, you know, be the man, you got to beat the man. So I think probably one of the highest points of my career is when we actually have a legitimate story built up around it and have a match. And when we do, I think that would be one of the highest points of my career.
Final question then. If anyone's sort of sat on the fence a little bit about thinking, oh, well, you know, I could go to these TNA shows coming up, it might be a bit cold outside or whatever, or there's transport or whatever. If anyone sat on the fence, what would you say to convince them come to these shows?
It's cold outside, but it's gonna be hot inside. I like it. I tell them this is one thing. It's a special group, and we're looking at right now. We come to UK once a year. If you have any idea of if you have any bit of wrestling fan in you, you got to come to these shows, because I think across the board how the wrestling business is today, I would much rather come to a show right now where you're gonna have high quality wrestling and a good show and a good program than anything else. And I don't think anybody can beat us right now with doing that. We're going to have Jeff Hardy on the show. We're going to have Matt Hardy on the show. We're going to have the Wolves on the show. We're going to have MVP on the show. Kennedy, we got myself. We have EY. We have Bobby Roode. We have Rockstar Spud. We have just a lineup that is just going to be, and we don't even know who's going to be with who. So when it gets to that point, you're looking at some great show. You're going to look at a great show. Great show. And I don't think it's going to be able to be beat. So this is the one to come to.